Today on Piano Jazz, we revisit a program from 1992 when Rosemary Clooney was Marion McPartland's guest.
You know, Rosemary, I'm just so glad you're here. I've been looking forward to this for ages.
So have I.
And I love your singing, and hearing you just recently in concert, I just think you're better than ever. I don't know how you're doing it, but you must really be at the peak.
I think I'm liking to do it better, Marion. You know, I think that there were so many years that when I first started, I had 5 children in 5 years, and so you're constantly torn. Always my work involved a lot of traveling, and so I was always thinking, well, I wonder if I should make this Parent Teachers Association. Can I fly back? Can I make it and still make the 9 o'clock show? You know, so I could never really concentrate on it, except at the very beginning of my career. So at this time in my life, with my 5 children grown, I can turn the key in the lock and go off and really do what I want to and concentrate on what I started doing all those years ago.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it?
It really
is. You know, there is some balance here of getting older. You know, there's a lot of crappy things that go on as you get older, but there are some good things too, and that's one of them. Just being able to concentrate on yourself and the things that you love to do.
You know what? Before, I've got so many things I want to ask you, but before we get into any of them, would you just sing something just to get us off the ground?
Sure. Should we do Our Love Is Here to Stay? Or
that's
what?
Great.
Okay.
That's a great song.
Okay. It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay.
Going back, you mentioned Tony Pastor. That was almost one of your first gigs, wasn't it?
Sure.
And your sister?
Yeah, Betty and I started when we were in Cincinnati, Ohio. There was a station there that I bet you remember well. Maybe you do, because it had a great staff orchestra and many, many good musicians started there, WLW in Cincinnati.
I remember it. I don't think I was here yet. I think I was in Chicago.
Right,
but
yeah.
I do remember that. Isn't it great when radio stations had arrangers and bands?
I know, small groups. There was a guy by the name of Jimmy Wilbur who played clarinet. Kind of Dixieland stuff, you know, but there was a small group. Chet Atkins.
Oh my God.
Was on in the morning with the country music, you know, so they had this staff of musicians. So Betty was 13 when we started with the, and I was 16.
Well, did you start out before you moved to Cincinnati? Did you work when you were in Kentucky?
My grandfather was a politician. Yes, a Southern politician.
I swear, honest.
I know. So he was mayor of our town. And when we were small children, we used to sing by ourselves on street corners just to get a crowd around, and then Papa would talk. And so we sang at Rotary clubs and all the things in a small town, 6,000 people in Maysville, Kentucky, on the Ohio River, you know, so there wasn't much chance. All the amateur shows we went to, and we would win sometimes and lose sometimes, went to Cincinnati, which was 60 miles away, and did an amateur show there. But then my mother and father divorced, and we stayed with one grandmother or another, or the other, and we moved to Cincinnati. And then we lived with one parent or another, and then we were in school, and we went down to open auditions at WLW. And went in, and we didn't have any music. And so Betty was always kind of the one that was had more nerve.
She was the younger one.
Yes, younger one, and absolutely the boss of the world.
Really?
Yes, she ran my life, which I was very grateful for. But she walked in and she said, now we don't have any music, but we can do this. And if we don't really need anybody, we can do it by ourselves. And I'm saying, my God, you know. And so we did it. And then they kept bringing people in and we got a job. And we worked with all kinds of orchestras and we had a coach. There was a woman in Cincinnati that used to teach Doris Day by the name of Grace Rain. So she had a very big following at that time. So she would teach us songs. We'd go down and do different kinds of shows, sometimes with a big band, sometimes with a small group, sometimes with an organ. There was a show called Moon River, a lazy stream of dreams where vain desires forget themselves in the lovelinesses. And they played organ music. And Betty and I would sing these death-defying songs.
Oh, my God.
We were 13 and 16. We were singing, I reach for you as I reach for a star. Now, please. At 13, you reach for a sundae. I don't know.
Oh,
a soda.
You mean?
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, I know.
I didn't know that tune was so long ago.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, Marian. That's okay. No, but Betty and I then we worked there for a couple of years. And it was so close to the war that it was still treated like kind of a part of a defense plant because Crosley owned it. And so you had to have an ID badge, which I was very proud of as well. And we just did such wonderful things and had such good times. We went to school. Summer times were wonderful because we worked with Clyde Trask and Barney Rapp, who also had a local band.
This was still before Tony passed.
Yeah, sure. So Tony came through town and needed a girl singer and went to Barney Rapp. And Barney Rapp said that he knew of two girl singers. And so I think... he's really responsible for the audition, but we went down to an office and sang. It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Oh, boy. We've got to have some more music here. This is great.
Are you going to play?
I'd love to. This is crazy. Whatever that tune was, I could play that. What is this tune?
My Silent Love. My Passion.
By a woman writer, Dana.
Now, you see, you know. I don't know that
I just dredged it up, though. I haven't heard that tune for...
Well,
can I play that?
Well, of course do it.
Or can I try to play it?
Yeah, of course you will.
Right.
You'll do it brilliantly.
All right. My Silent Love. Things to talk about. You've had, and you're having, such a great career. Can we talk about Mitch Miller, those days?
Sure.
Come on to my house.
Yeah. He really had his finger on the pulse of America, if that doesn't sound...
Yeah, he did. No,
for
what
a while,
was saleable.
He did. With Tony Bennett, with Guy Mitchell, with Doris, you know, with the people that he worked with and liked. Especially, he would pick songs, and they were big successes. I did a couple of terrible songs with him, though. I did a song called Canasta.
I never heard it.
No, you didn't.
Did you really? Yes.
God, I thought that I'd bought up everyone after I had some success.
No,
I said, grab that
there.
Record. Oh, it's
but
awful.
But didn't you do what Tenderly during that period?
No, yes, but that was way after.
Oh, okay.
Come On to My House.
The one I remember, of course, was Come On to My House.
Sure.
Come On to My House.
The strange thing about that was Mitch had a demonstration record of it. So I was in his office, and I had reached not any measure of success as we, you know, as you can measure it, but I had had enough so that I was feeling... Oh, kind of a little full of myself. And I felt as though my métier was the passionate ballad, you know. And so I hear this kind of throwaway song where you just use, you know, an Italian accent or whatever. That's the only accent that I had at my command because I'd been with Tony Pastor's band. So all the families that we visited, they would say, hey, Funzie, where do you was? You know, so I had that at hand. So I listened to it and I said, I don't know, Mitch. I just feel as though it's not my kind of song. So he was patient for a second and a half, you know, and then he said, let me put it another way. If you don't show up to record this tomorrow morning, you're fired.
Nice fellow.
No, but I understood it. He certainly cut through all the nonsense, and I understood that fine. Well, at that time, that was 1951, and Mitch said, I'm going to ship $300,000 on consignment. He had that kind of power, you know, at that time, which was not really, you know, all that usual for people to be able to go to the sales department of a big company like Columbia and say, we'll ship those. And so I went off to do a week's work in Miami, Florida at a theater called the Olympia Theater with Buddy Rich. And I came back to town, and I'm going down Broadway, and all the record stores are playing Come On to My House. And I didn't know what had happened in the interim. And it was a huge hit almost right away. Almost right away. It took a very long time for it to sell a million records. When people, you know, of course it's a different scene now. It's a different time now. But I remember how long it took to sell a million records. And it was a very popular song and a very popular recording all that summer of 1951.
God, I remember that so well. I mean, I think it was before I started at the Hickory House, but I do remember hearing that thing.
It was constant. It was just constant.
In fact, I met you then. You won't remember this, but I was going into the Embers.
Oh, yes, I remember. I remember very well.
You were coming out.
And I remember very, very well that we met that time. Yeah. Of course, because that's when I got to know Art as well.
Yeah. How about doing My Shining Hour?
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's on one of your Concord.
Yes.
That's on one of your Concord record of Harold Arlen.
Yes, yes.
I just love that tune.
Yeah, me too. Don't you love the lyric too? Yeah.
I love the whole thing. Yeah. Harold Arlen. But I mean, all his tunes. But that particular one's one of my
Yes, let's
favorites.
Do it. Okay.
This will be my shining hour, calm and happy and bright. In my dreams, your face will flower through the darkness of the night. Like the lights of home before me, or an angel watching o'er me, this will be my shining hour, till you're with me again.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.